I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A hearty welcome to all of you here this morning, the guests in our midst, also a hearty welcome, and may we all feel the love of God amongst us. The Lord has given us this opportunity once more where we can assemble in his house and nourish our soul from his word. And this morning, we want to look at the first and the last words that Jesus spoke on this earth, which we find recorded in Scripture. But before we do that, we'll have a couple of songs and let us unite for our opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. May it be a day where we honor you. Honor you for who you are, the creator and sustainer of this earth and universe, and our Father, Lord, and Savior, delivering us from the darkness and sin, and bringing us to the light of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Father, when we give you less than our best. Thank you for always having us in your mind and wanting the best for us. We pray for your Spirit's help for us to give you our best. And Father, we are grateful for the hope you have provided for us, the lively hope that helps us face each day unafraid. Help us to treasure this hope and its meaning in our daily lives. May we understand that the evil we see all around us can never overcome the goodness of God. We ask your Spirit's presence here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take our red book and turn to number 170. I was once far away from the Savior. 170. Christ the Redeemer has power.
to temptation
What man says reveals what he is. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Did you ever think the power of what words have? Words can be used to encourage, and they can also be used to discourage. Riots and revolts, discord, they are all started by words. Words have also led thousands into the kingdom of God. But the words of Jesus, how powerful they must be. They have come echoing down the ages to convict and convince, to condemn and to convert. And one day, Jesus went into the synagogue and he taught great things about God. The people listened to him with intent, and they left shaking their heads and saying, "He taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught as the author." On one occasion, the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. They came back empty-handed. They could not arrest him. No man ever spoke as this man speaks. That's what they came back with. And people of all ages have marveled at the words of Jesus. And this morning, we want to look at the first recorded words of Jesus, and later on, the last recorded words of Jesus. In the first recorded words of Jesus, we find in Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" You will remember the story. When Jesus was 12 years old, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to attend the feast of the Passover. And as a 12-year-old, in the Jewish custom, Jesus was old enough to attend. And they spent several days there at Jerusalem, having fellowship with their friends and their relatives, and going through the forms of their ceremonial religion of the Passover. And when they had fulfilled the days, they made ready to return home. And they left Jerusalem with their friends and relatives, assuming that Jesus would be with other young lads. And at the end of the day, each family gathers their young ones, and Joseph and Mary look for Joseph, and they can't find him anywhere. And they ask their friends and relatives if anyone has seen Jesus. Nobody has seen him. And like any parent would be, Joseph and Mary are terrified. And they rush back to the city to look for him. They looked for 3 days. And they finally found him. He was in the temple, probably the last place they looked. Where would you find a 12-year-old boy? Not in the temple, probably. But here Jesus was, in the temple, and that's where they found him. Yes, the temple was reserved for God's teachers, but here he was, discussing with the teachers about the great things of God, hearing them and asking questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding. 12-year-old boy. And when Joseph and Mary found him, they were amazed. And yet, they scolded him. "Why have you done this? Put all this stress on them." He said, "We have sought you sorrowing." And Jesus said to his parents, or asked them, "Why were you looking for me?" And then he says, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" I understand all this. But Mary, his mother, kept these sayings in her heart. And I'm sure at the cross, when she was standing there by her son, hanging on the cross, all these things probably were clear to her. But Jesus, he went back to Nazareth with his parents and took his place as an obedient child in the humble Jewish family, even though he was the creator of the universe. And all through life, he kept the same spirit. "I must work the works of him that sent me," John 9:4. And Jesus kept on doing that work until he went to the cross and he concluded, "It is finished." Today, his business, he says he's doing his Father's business, and his business is the greatest on earth. It is far greater than any other business here in this world. Just the other day, I heard on the news, there's an individual that's probably going to be becoming a trillionaire. But this business of God is greater than that. And as Christians, we are shareholders in that business. For us who belong to Christ, there is but one task: doing God's business wherever we are, winning others to him. Yes, God's business is our business. And that is the greatest business that there is on this earth. For us who belong to Christ, there is but one thing to do: to carry on this business, winning others to him. Now, his business is not only for preachers. It should be the top concern of every Christian, the work of his church, and the winning of lost souls. Yes, God's business is still the same as when Jesus said he was about doing God's business. Is the church still going about God's business? Or is the church more concerned about world issues? World hunger, housing, all those things, yes, they are concerning. But Jesus did it in the right order. He first fed his people spiritually, and then he cared for them physically. I don't know if they still do that, but I know Union Gospel Mission, before the individuals off the street could have a meal, they had to come to a church service. We also had an individual in our Winnipeg church. He's passed away. Our church in Winnipeg, it's in an area where there's a lot of street people. And a lot of them came to church Sunday morning asking for money. And this individual would ask them to come in for the church service, and then after the church service, he would buy them a meal. Another common word we have We have to dialogue. Let's lay aside the Bible and get together and discuss our differences in human terms. Another is saying, let's make the gospel fit everyone. It has always fit the need of everyone. There is little about sin or salvation, judgment, heaven or hell. There is no word for the lost. No strength to live by. No grave to die by. Our task is to win people to Christ. Yet this work is almost lost. We are not to depend upon our smarts or how well we speak or our church programs, but simply upon the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. They are all concerning. But there is no talk about the new birth. Without the new birth, there is no hope for anyone. Churches need to speak the word of God for the souls of the lost. One day, Jesus came to John the Baptist and he says, I want you to baptize me. Oh, John says, oh no, I should be baptized by you. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, was Jesus' response. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. Yes, this was the will of his Father, and he was obedient to him. And then in verse 17, John is baptizing, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is confirming that his Son is doing his business. Not that Jesus needed baptism, he was sinless. But as an example for every redeemed soul, that should be our desire of being converted, to be baptized. Now, you may never preach a sermon, but in baptism, you are preaching a sermon. You are preaching the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death and burial of the old life and resurrection of the new life. And of course, life ever after, when Jesus returns. Baptism is showing obedience. We can't be obedient to God without it. A Christian life should be of obedience, doing the Father's business. And of course, we are talking after receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The longing should be there to be baptized. It pleases the Father. Jesus said in John 8:29, for I do always those things that please him. Then in Acts 26, where Apostle Paul says, after he has received the heavenly vision, Acts 26, verse 19, first of all, where he says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." He had received the heavenly vision, which he was following. And what was that vision? In the verse before, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Yes, peace and happiness can be found in the will of God and not in any other way of life. Now, before we go on with our message this morning, I have one prayer request here that I would invite you to pray for, and I'll read it to you as I have received it. It says, "Hello, I'm asking for prayers. We desperately need them. A family member is struggling with debilitating illness and addiction. They want to desperately stop the addiction. Please pray that God will help us take away that addiction. Thank you sincerely." So let us all, whoever is able, go on knees and pray in Jesus' name for this couple. With assurance, where two or three are gathered together, God will answer our prayers according to his will.
Let's take our blue hymnal and turn to number 144, "Only Trust Him." 144, for those that are able, let's stand. Oh,
After Jesus' baptism and temptation, Jesus went into Galilee preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand in calling mankind to repent. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The question that many are asking is, how can I get through to God? We get to him simply by coming to Christ. John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And God is waiting for us to come to him in faith. He lives for that purpose. He is not a distant God. He is very near to us. God is so big, he rules the world and the universe. Yet, he is so small that he can live in our hearts. For those who want him can find him when they look for him with their whole heart. But people look for him in different ways. Some seek him by cutting themselves. Some seek him by bowing down before some image or statue. Some seek him by bringing offerings to some dead idol, thinking that this dead thing can do something for them. Some seek him through religious customs. But all through the Old Testament, mankind has been called to repent. And in the New Testament, Jesus, John the Baptist, Peter and Paul preached repentance. And it should be the central theme for every preacher today. Repentance is a biblical doctrine, but it is not pleasant to the natural man, because it means turning away from sin, leaving the old life of pleasure behind. Repentance is not just the fear of God. Yes, some cry out to God in fear, but that is not repentance. It is simply sorrow for sin. Or a confession of sin. Repentance goes much deeper than that and changes the whole life. Yes, repentance is a complete change of heart and life, turning from sin to the Savior, coming over to God's side and taking his side against our sin. If we take God's side against our sin, we then can look through his eyes and see how dirty it is, seeing the ugliness of sin. It is a continuous change, because sin seems to come into our lives every day, and we need to repent of those sins and turn back to God. But it also says, he who is born of God does not continue in his old sin. In other words, we will not willfully practice our old life, but rather we will be serving God. This one day, John the Baptist was talking to two of his disciples, and this happened after he had baptized Jesus. And he saw Jesus coming to them, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Then these two disciples of John left him and followed Jesus. And a chain of soul winning began, to the point where 3,000 souls were saved at Pentecost. And it didn't stop there. They continued. What seek ye? What are people seeking today? Pleasure, profit, peace, and power. People go to different ways to find these things, but they are looking in the wrong places. Christ Himself is still the answer to all of man's needs. So what kind of answer do we have in Christ's last words? The last words of an individual just before he goes into eternity often have a lot of meaning and importance. But the last words of Jesus did not come when he was dying. The last words of Jesus came after he had died and he had risen from the dead. The resurrection sets him apart from everybody else. Yet Jesus is the only one who has conquered death, and he came back to tell us about it. We find the last words of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Acts. We want to go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, the last recorded words of Jesus. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Last words of Jesus, they should be important to us. Now it says, "Go ye into all the world." Doesn't mean we have to all go into different countries. We just have to look around us in our communities. It's also, "Go ye into all the world." But he says also, you won't have to do it alone. I'm always with you. Yes, all these three references in Matthew, Mark, and Acts all have the same message. Go ye into all the world. Win souls for Christ. Baptize them and teach them what I have commanded you. And I will be with you all the way. That is the reason that while we are shareholders of the biggest business in this world, when Jesus is saying all power is given to him in heaven and on earth, he now was the head of the new creation. Since his death and resurrection, he had the authority to give eternal life. Eternal life to all who come to him. He had completed the work of redemption as head of this new creation. Yes, he said these last words in Matthew 28. They are not suggestions, but commands. Preach the gospel so others become followers of Jesus. As followers, to baptize them in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes, we need to understand that these are commands to be obeyed. We want to identify ourselves as Christians with the triune God. Now, what does the church have to offer that is offered nowhere else in the world? The church offers Jesus Christ. And this is the purpose of the church, to present Jesus Christ to the world. When the full gospel of Christ isn't presented, the world goes wrong. We don't have to go far to see. And as we read the Gospels, we see that the last time that Jesus spoke before he went away, there were many lost people out there that go out, win them for Christ. But on our own, we won't be able to do that. We need a higher power. Luke 24. And Jesus said he had not left us alone. Luke 24, verse 49, where Jesus says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Yes, Jesus' disciples had an experience that they would never forget. They had seen a man die, and they had seen him come back to life. And they wanted to go out and tell people what they had experienced. When we read that story, we find that when Jesus was crucified, the disciples, they ran behind closed doors. They were afraid. But after the resurrection, they were bold and wanted to go out and preach what they had seen. They had seen a risen Christ. But here Jesus, first of all, tells them to wait. You are not ready yet. He says, wait till you receive the power from on high. And they waited, and the power fell upon them. What was this power from on high? The Holy Spirit. And then the disciples went out into the world to turn their world upside down for Christ. Many were converted, but many also opposed their teaching. Yes, we need more than human resources to do God's work. We need the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. We receive this Holy Ghost when we accept Jesus as our Savior. Yes, this Spirit in us will nudge us to serve Jesus, and we need to respond to this nudging. I just read in the bulletin, there's some Sunday school teachers needed. Are any of you receiving this nudge from the Holy Spirit? There are a number of times in Scripture where Jesus says, "Follow me." When Jesus says, "Follow me," it is far more than an invitation to walk behind him. When we are to follow him, our lives should match his teachings. Willing to leave our old ways and habits and to live out a commitment to Jesus. We will then have other priorities and a different identity, being born again. Yes, Jesus, he taught for 3 years on this earth. And it's almost 2,000 years ago. That's a short time that he's been on this earth. Yes, then he ascended to heaven. Trusting that we would continue his work. That's a big trust put upon us. Jesus will be coming back. No one knows when. Even Jesus himself said he didn't know when he would be coming back. But let him find us faithful, continuing his work when he comes again. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Father, we first of all thank you for your Spirit's presence here this morning. And as we go on with our week, may we commune with you every day, bringing you our sorrows and joys, and most importantly, our thanks. We pray for our governments, that they will govern according to your will. We pray for those in war-torn countries, that they may find peace in you. We pray for Christians that are persecuted for their faith, that they will stay steadfast in their faith. We pray for those that have lost loved ones, the lonely. Put your loving arms around them for comfort. May you give healing for the sick according to your will. We pray for those that are living in sin and evil, that they may come to you for healing. Lord, thank you for the willing workers in your vineyard. What a blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And whoever is able, let us once again kneel in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Take our blue book and turn to number 66. It was a glad day when Jesus found me. Number 66.
Good morning. Just a reminder that today is our picnic. You are all invited. If anyone is able to help with serving or cleanup, I'm sure the committee would appreciate the help. So bring your lawn chairs and we will see you there right after the service. Thank you.
Thank you for that announcement, Brother Jake, and the last songs we sung was a glad day when Jesus found us. And I trust that joy has continued from that day. I want to thank you all for coming this morning, partaking in our worship service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.